Have you ever been somewhere where it was obvious to you and those around you that you didn't fit in? That you stood out like the proverbial sore thumb? Well, I have. I'll tell you about it coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome to The Inner Life. We're here with our top-notch spiritual directors to provide you with a bit of help and a bit of hope in living out your Catholic faith today. I'm your host, Patrick Conley. Well, it was the summer of 1995. I was returning to the Holy Land, not on pilgrimage, but helping to lead a group of college students on a month-long summer mission where we would be meeting, befriending, and teaching English to a group of young Palestinian boys and girls. This was my second trip to the Middle East. The prior summer, when I had gone as a participant, I spent the month in Bethlehem. Yes, the Bethlehem, where the locals are very used to Western tourists. My presence and that of my teammates didn't seem to attract any great amount of attention there in Bethlehem. This summer, however, the summer of 95, we were going to be working in Gaza City. As much as Bethlehem was used to seeing Westerners, Gaza was on the far opposite end of the spectrum. Here I was, this large white guy, in a sea of more darkly skinned Arabs, and I could feel it. Every time I walked down the street to get some groceries or to hail a taxi, it was like a one-man parade broke out. People stopped in their tracks and turned to stare in my direction. And although I did get more accustomed to it over the course of the month we were there, and I suppose the locals probably worked out that we were there helping their kids to learn English so there was less staring, I'll be honest, I never got entirely used to it. I couldn't leave the place where we stayed without attracting the attention of all these others. It was an uncomfortable lesson, to be sure, but a valuable one. For one thing, it gave me insight into what is a daily reality for members of racial minorities here in my own country. But it also helped me in developing the fortitude and the right attitude for being a follower of Jesus in the midst of a society that seems overflowing with attitudes and dispositions that ridicule the whole idea of Christian faith. And this is a reality that every earnest Christian faces. When there are so many voices around you mocking, deriding, and scoffing at religious faith, how do you listen for and remain faithful to the voice of the Good Shepherd? On today's program, we're talking about staying faithful in an unfaithful environment. Joining us as our spiritual director today is Father Tom Wilson. Father Wilson is the pastor of All Saints Catholic Church in Lakeville, Minnesota, a southern suburb of the Twin Cities, and part of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Good morning, Father. Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter to you as well, Patrick. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you. As always, grateful that you can take the time to join us today. Well, Father, I don't think it's any shock to any earnest Christian who's out there saying that there is this flood of voices that would seek to ridicule the faith that we try to profess and live out in Jesus, in our Lord. So, how would you assess the situation out there, Father? Is this really a struggle day to day?
You know what? I think that probably for an awful lot of people it is, Patrick. And it's one thing that I would say that probably my vocation is an advantage over yours. I mean, it is. My entire life is within a circle of people of faith, and I serve people of faith. And yes, of course, I'll get out into environments that can be a little bit more difficult or misunderstanding or whatever. But people are living in the world. They're going to face it. They're going to face it just about every day. And as I was doing a little prep, Patrick, I thought about the reality of evangelization, even from the time I was before an adult, but before the seminary. And most of our evangelization was essentially people who believe, but don't believe the exact same things we do. And so it's a matter of pointing out things in scripture or whatever that point to the truths of the Catholic faith. And it sort of has slid down a slope from there to people who stopped maybe believing in the church, to now, 30 years later, a substantial portion of the population that may not even believe in God. And so our relationships with many of the people and the world in which we live have changed considerably in what's historically a pretty short time. And, you know, I grew up in a very Catholic environment in my community, a very Christian environment. A lot of people don't have that grace or advantage that I did. And so our preparation and our to live a life of faith in the world is certainly going to be different than probably you and I understood it when we were in our teens and 20s, that's for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. All the same, Father, I mean, it's not like this is something that should surprise us, right? I mean, Jesus promises himself that we want to have peace. He said he talks to us, he speaks to us so that we may have peace. But he says in this world, you're going to have trial, you're going to have trouble, you're going to have tribulation. This shouldn't be a surprise to us, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, it shouldn't be a surprise, but I think for a lot of us it is, because okay. Oftentimes the colloquial conversations about faith are soothing and comfortable, and so then when we run into the circumstances and situations that maybe people don't understand, or there might be pressure on us to step back or from what we really believe, from what Christ teaches us. But you are correct. He says all over in the scriptures, you will have trouble in the world. I have not made you for this world, but for the next, and all those kinds of things that we, as we are in the midst of the trial and the challenges of living our faith, we can never forget that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Father, you mentioned our vocations being somewhat different, the vocations of the priesthood or the clergy versus the vocation of the religious, or excuse me, the lay life, the call of the laity. But, you know, one thing that occurs to me in that, Father, that provided that you're going out in public in your clerical shirt, then your Roman collar, then, you know, you're more readily identifiable. And I think that presents different challenges for us both. I mean, I think the challenges are the same. People see you in your clerical collar and they say, well, there's one of those Catholics, you know, there's one of those. Whereas the challenge I think it presents to laity is that, you know what, we could shrink from the being faithful. We could actually say, yeah, no, I don't. I mean, we could be Peter, right? Denying our Lord.
Yes. Exactly. It's not out of the realm of possibility that a priest could do it as well, Patrick.
Fair enough.
But no, that is true. There's a very external sign that identifies us as priests with our clerical clothes and such. And so what that does is it either creates a barrier, it creates a creates an opening for a conversation. And I would say the challenges that both in clergy and lay people are there's the challenge of sort of the outward external hostility. But I think maybe even the greater challenge of living our faith in a not faithful environment is not the hostility as much as the simply lack of understanding. I mean, I will have conversations, for example, in airports and things like that with people who really have no idea. I mean, they just have no idea what the life of a priest is like. They kind of know that we're there. They may have very little understanding of Christ. They may be Christians and have very little or misguided understanding of what the Catholic Church is, all those sorts of things, which aren't necessarily rooted in hostility. It's rooted in lack of awareness or knowledge. And so we have to be prepared to encounter the hostility, but I think we probably have to be just as prepared to encounter the ignorance and lack of knowledge, and be able to then do our best to present in a way that's faithful and confident.
That's great, and I do want to get into that. But before we do, Father, I think one of the things I wanted to explore was, what do you think the temptation is, or what's behind our temptation to become like Peter and denying Jesus, denying our faith, even if it's just through silence? Is it vanity? I mean, we're caring too much about what people think about us.
You know what? I didn't put the term vanity on it, but I think you've hit it right on the head. I think there's certainly there, as much as we talk about individualism and the culture that we live,
yeah,
everybody wants to fit in.
Yeah,
everybody, yeah. Everybody wants to fit in, and people do not want to be the exception. You know, especially if there's any kind of inkling that people might not just not understand, but not like you because you represent something that, you know, they don't understand or don't like or whatever. But I do think that it's really all about fitting in. And if you read things about the psychology of trying to convince people to be absorbed in a product or an idea or a movement or whatever, it really is all about the people who are putting forth those ideas, trying to convince everyone that if they adopt this idea, then they're fitting in. You're fitting in with everybody who's getting this really nice car or watching this particular show or, you know, you'll, and those sorts of things. So I think you hit it right on the head. We really do want to fit in. We want to go along to get along. Maybe there's fear in there too of being, you know, unable to accurately and credibly portray the faith in those kinds of environments as well.
Oh, sure. Right. And in fact, that was one of the questions rolling through my mind as well, is that, well, what do we need to do to prep ourselves for that? I mean, do we need to become theologians? Do we need to become biblical scholars, you know, that sort of thing in order to represent the faith well?
Well, I think we want to know the faith, but I think we want to first live the faith, and the grounding and foundation that allows us to live it is very simple. And I've taught this to people for decades now, that to live a life of faith and to build a relationship with Christ requires praying every day. I mean, it's very basic, but it's praying every day. It's communicating with the Lord, praying with the church, praying with others every day. It's making it to Mass at least weekly, once a week, and more if it's possible and available in your life. And third, using the sacrament of reconciliation at least once a month. So every day prayer, every week Mass, every month confession, and that's gonna provide just a solid foundation of paying attention to how we're living the faith, building up our strength, and frankly, I think probably building up our knowledge as well as we get to know the Lord better. And better, we'll be inspired to learn the facts and the details with a little bit more confidence and depth.
Yeah, true enough. And do you think we can rely on the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples as well? Is it right to take that on ourselves, that when I bring you before nations, or in our case, before our friends, neighbors, our acquaintances, and even strangers on the street, that I will give you the words to say?
I think we need to trust in everything the Lord says, including that.
Yeah.
And that, again, that is not as much rooted in the perfect absorption of all the theological, historical, biblical, and philosophical knowledge, but it's rooted in a oneness with Jesus and a trust in Him. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I know a lot of people who don't have theology degrees who are incredibly faithful witnesses to the Lord by their trusting in Him, by their knowledge of the Lord, and the charity with which they live their life. And
yeah.
And there is no need for people who live that way to be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Well, let's invite our listeners into the conversation. I'm betting there's a bunch of people out there who have great ways of remaining faithful to the Lord in the midst of unfaithful environments, or maybe have questions too about some situation that they're facing. So All right, we would love to have you call in and speak with our spiritual director, Father Tom Wilson, with us today. What are some ways that you do remain faithful to Christ? Maybe in those misunderstanding situations, maybe in those hostile situations. How have you lived out your faith in the Lord? Give us a call and join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. That line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. As always, you can send us an email if you'd prefer. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. Father, this is a fascinating conversation. And again, it's a daily experience, I think, for most people. It could be at work. It could even be in the home. It could be at school. It could be in all these different places where they're facing these things. And you started talking about the necessity of prayer. And this is one of the things that I see as foundational to that. And I guess maybe just talk a little bit more about that, about how does faith build up our relationship with our love for the Lord, and then also our knowledge of the Lord.
You know, in that daily conversation that we have with the Lord, I mean, we understand it's that conversation that we have that allows us to know Him better. And to be more confident in His presence, and to have that friendship, while also recognizing that He is our King, but He desires that friendship with us. And if we can analogize to our friendships in the world. The deeper we get to know a friend, the more valuable and strengthening that friendship will be for the two of us, but then also our own experience of living in the world and frankly, being able to endure trials and challenges. Think about it. If you're dealing with something hard in your life, if you think you're alone in it, super difficult. I mean, yeah. It's just like I am it, and I've got to figure this out by myself. I'm on my own. If we realize in that deepening relationship with the Lord and that daily conversation with Him, that He's always there, He's always got our back. All those things and those challenges that confront us become much more easily responded to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And it also brings up that feeling of being alone, I think, is one of the things that can cause us to be a little reticent about sharing our faith and owning up to being a follower of Jesus in public. We also have, I mean, that seems to be another one of the importances of making it to Mass, at least weekly. I mean, not obviously it may not be the primary reason, but one of the reasons is that we're finding ourselves enveloped in a community that, at least to some degree, believes the same as we do.
No, absolutely, Patrick. And as I was prepping for today, that was one of the top three things I had on my list is to live the faith well, to live the faith confidently, to live the faith in difficult environments necessitates community. I mean, it really does. To be able to come back on a weekly basis and gather with the parish community and the Eucharistic community and all be strengthened by the Lord together. Know that you have support in living your faith within that community, being fed by the Lord together and absorbing His word in the scriptures and in the preaching is essential to living that life of faith. And mm-hmm. I think that people have this tendency to believe they either need to or maybe even want to kind of do it on their own. And I personally haven't seen a whole lot of evidence of people who've been able to live a strong and committed and consistent life of faith if they're doing it practically in isolation. Mm-hmm. Community is necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed it is. We're talking today with our spiritual director, Father Tom Wilson, about staying faithful in the midst of unfaithful environments, wherever you may find that. Maybe that's in the grocery store, maybe it's in your workplace, maybe too, it's in your home. Give us a call and join the conversation. Tell us what you do to remain faithful, or ask your questions about how to remain faithful and tell us your situation. We'd love to hear from you at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Our email address, if you'd prefer, is innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to go into our first break, but when we come back, we'll have more of the conversation with Father Tom Wilson on remaining faithful in unfaithful environments, coming up right after this. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
The Inner Life with Patrick Connelly on Relevant Radio.
And I'll keep this world from dragging me down, gonna stand.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about here on The Inner Life on Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com, and the Relevant Radio app. Staying faithful in unfaithful environments, unfaithful circumstances. If you'd like to give us an example of how you stay faithful in the midst of misunderstandings or even hostility, give us a call at 888-914-9149. Well, Father Tom Wilson is our spiritual director today, and Father, let's take a phone call. Judy is calling in from Nora, California. Judy, welcome to the program.
Oh, my goodness. Hi. Thank you for everything. Such a wonderful program. So, let's see, how can I start? Some of the ways I use my evangelization is through Facebook, and I listen to a Laudate every day, the readings, and then the reflections, and then I also use Hello for the Lent, and, you know, all this helps me keep in line with God and you know, in line with His Spirit and what I need to do. But then I find myself praying a lot for the sick, you know, lost ones, and that brings, I'm like, oh, Lord, when does the sadness go away? We're constantly praying for sick people and people who have died, and I'm like, oh, you know, where's the joy? You know, I mean, oh, I'm so grateful that God set me apart, and with His grace, you know, I'm on the other side of the wall. I'm on the other side of the door. I'm not blind anymore, but still, there's still a lot of praying for the sick and the dead and things like that.
Yeah, Judy, we can never stop praying. That's, you know, you've reminded us all of the importance of doing that. And, you know what, the truth is, one of the core tenets and differentiators of our faith with the rest of the world is that, Jesus does call us to pray for the hurting, the wounded, and even our enemies. And so, the discouragement that can come in maybe a disbelieving world or disbelieving relationships and that sort of thing, is that constant reminder to pray for people who are in those situations of hostility or misunderstanding. So thanks for reminding us of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Judy, I'm impressed too about just your dedication to prayer and staying close to that. I mean, as Father's already said, daily prayer is essential in being faithful, remaining faithful in unfaithful circumstances. So thanks for that testimony. But, you know, Father, one of the things that makes me think of when utilizing, especially like apps that are there and available to us on the phone and as such, is it also makes me think of social media, which is where a lot of Catholics take to expressing the faith. Some, I would say some maybe more gently than others might be the way to say it. What do you think about social media? How do you remain faithful on social media?
That's a very good question. And I might not be the best person to answer that because I stay away from social media like the plague. It's not my thing, and I'm grateful that there are people of faith and engaging the culture who are able to do that in the particular forums that they're on. And again, your reference to the fact that sometimes these conversations in cyberspace can get very, very aggressive, and not understanding is very real. And so if we're going to engage those kinds of environments, I would say number one, you have to do it in a spirit of love and truth.
Yeah.
Not a spirit of I'm here to defeat you in an argument, but also I think probably being careful about the audiences in which you're dealing with. I don't hang out in that sphere, but occasionally I'll get things forwarded to me, and you'll see back and forth between people that are just so mean and so nasty and completely and totally unproductive that it can burn up a lot of valuable time.
Yeah.
And the truth is, and maybe some of our audience who are more engaged in online forums and discussions and things like that can give us some idea of what the what the response rate, if you will, maybe is. And I don't know how many people have ever been experienced the beginning of a conversion through basically anonymous online conversations or not. I think probably for the most part people are going there to be affirmed in whatever it is that they're believing. Maybe have a legitimate, honest question and answer and debate and that sort of thing. But my understanding of it from a pace or two back is that it's those environments, while they have tremendous possibilities, can also become very toxic very quickly. And so we need to be careful which of those environments we're touching or looking at. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes entire sense to me, especially, as here at Relevant Radio, we're working to bring Christ to the world through the media. And of course, we have the Relevant Radio app, which let me just put a quick plug in for that. If anybody has not yet downloaded that, this is a great app that has much more than just the ability to listen, go back to other listen. It does have that, go back and listen to other shows, but it also has all sorts of great resources in building up the faith. But even that, Father, I think Relevant Radio has done a great job of not seeking to enter into, heated debates on platforms such as social media that just seems to be less fruitful than other honest conversations.
Yeah, and I think it probably helps maintain peace of soul too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just, it just does. And again, even Jesus himself, when he was in conversations, had to pick and choose which ones he was going to engage. And he even tells us that there are environments where it's like, they're not listening to you, shake the dust off and move on.
Yeah, there you go.
And don't think that you have to stay there.
Yeah. So. Very good. Well, going to our emails, Father, we had an email come in from Michael, who's listening in Gary, Indiana on 1270 AM. Thank you for listening, Michael. And he writes, good morning. I have two uncles that have distanced themselves from the Catholic Church of their youth. They lost their faith in the face of the problem of evil. How God can allow that to happen, the hypocrisy of priests and bishops who were part of the scandals, extravagant gift shops, making money in front of shrines, all these things they use as excuses for leaving the faith. And it said they have difficulty in believing in the Catholic Church and the God in the face of such things. And Michael writes, I have ways that I might respond to such grievances, but I'm curious of insights that you might have.
Yeah, those are very, very good questions, and I'm glad that they're being asked, because we have to engage in them in a spirit of honesty. Again, I think that the temptation in the engagement of those conversations can be getting very defensive and deflecting right away. And it's like, we can't justify sin. I mean, we simply can't justify sin. But I actually mentioned in my homily the other day about the risk that people know part of the story of Jesus, but not all of the story of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if they're locking in on only part of it, they're missing out on the whole thing. And so if somebody, for example, is saying, you know what, I'm not gonna do this because there's scandal in the church. It's an understandable place that they're at, but to be able to present the larger story of the fullness of Christ and the gift of eternal life, and that Jesus in fact is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus didn't promise that everybody who was going to stand up in his name was going to be a perfect example of it. All those kinds of things which don't dismiss the person's concern and the part of the story that they know, but invite them into the larger portion of the story, the fullness of the story of Christ that he wants us to join him in.
Yeah. Well, we're talking today with our spiritual director, Father Tom Wilson, about staying faithful in the midst of unfaithful environments, whether that be at work, at home, at school, or wherever you find yourself. If you have insights on how you remain faithful in the face of misunderstanding or hostility, give us a call at 888-914-9149. Maybe you're facing a situation right now. Maybe, like with Michael, you're facing a situation with family members. How do you remain faithful to family members who have perhaps left the faith? 888-914-9149 is our phone number. innerlife@relevantradio.com is our email address. Let's go back to the phones, Father. Tom is calling in from Grand Terrace, California. Tom, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for taking my call. This is such an interesting conversation. I'd like to share something first and then propose a question to Father. When I was working, I had a good friend of mine. He was a Reformed Baptist, Calvinist, Angle. I was a Catholic, and him and I got into some really good discussions. Sometimes we got a little bit, you know, testy with each other, but we were the best of friends. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know from Father, when we approach a situation which perhaps it's going to evolve into something where you could tell it's a little bit hostile towards your faith, what is my disposition? Hmm. What approach should I really begin? I'm speaking in terms of how should I view this person and how should I begin this conversation? My approach has always been I need to listen in order to respond better. So, Father, what do you think?
That is a very good place to start, Tom. And I think that the place to begin in those relationships is always with a spirit of love, that you love this person who you are having this conversation with, even if this person doesn't necessarily agree with you, even if this person might be even angry at you for living the faith. I think that your example that you shared with us is a really good example of you living your faith. Somebody observing you living your faith who doesn't necessarily grasp the fullness of your faith, but the rapport that you already have between each other, creating a space where you can have that, honest conversation. In deference and charity and benefit of the doubt to particularly our brothers and sisters who are believers but not Catholic, I think a lot of them are more than willing to engage in a conversation like that. And I've been in situations with non-Catholic Christians who, you know, we'll ask about particular things, and you do your best to take it to the scriptures, and this is why, and those sorts of things, and that's a great thing to do. But you also have to be, prudent in the relationship. And I think to be very honest, I think a lot of people that we would know as sort of, I just put it evangelical in quotes, that can be very aggressive, and they can be very in the face, and it's almost like it can be almost like that they're serving themselves by shouting to the world, this is what I believe, and I know Jesus, and you should know Jesus too. And it might be them actually trying to convince themselves a little bit more than they might be convincing others. And I think that we want to avoid those kinds of interactions. I think that the invitation is for us to be living our faith as fully and completely as we can, and the hope is that our living that faith then provides an environment and a space where people who don't get it, don't understand it, might be engaged enough to actually get into a real conversation about it. So thanks for sharing that.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for the call. Yep. Yeah. And Father, as you know, I'm a convert to the Catholic faith myself. And one of the things I would never say that, you know, well, we should just brush all our differences with our Protestant brothers and sisters under the rug. At the same time, I do think that maybe the increasing just kind of ignorance of Christianity, the increasing, even in some cases, in some pockets anyway, hostility towards Christianity is actually driving us closer into relationship with those who share our belief in Christ.
I think it absolutely is, Patrick. I even have sort of mentally in my head an outline for a talk on the realities of our differences, but the common misunderstanding that the world has about Christianity in general.
Wow.
And it being a place for us to strengthen each other, to live for Christ, but also to know each other well enough to engage in some questions about those differences. Because the truth is that, the Protestants down the street are not our enemies. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ who are not part of the fullness of the faith. And if they're living their faith fully, they're experiencing the same kinds of things that we are.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amen to that. Father Tom Wilson is our spiritual director today, talking about staying faithful in the midst of unfaithful environments. Again, be that at home, at work, at school, wherever you might face it. Give us a call and tell us how you remain faithful in the midst of ignorance or misunderstanding or hostility. 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to go into our second break, but we'll come back with more of the conversation yet to come and more of your phone calls and emails right after this. Stay with us.
I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved.
Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
The Inner Life with Patrick Conley on Relevant Radio.
All right, there you go. A bit of fighting music for you. But of course, we're not taking the fight to our brothers and sisters. We're not taking the fight to other people created in the image and likeness of God. We're taking the fight to the work of the enemy, the devil, in misunderstandings and in hostility, so that we can help people to understand and come into a loving relationship with the Lord. Today, we're talking about staying faithful in the midst of unfaithful circumstances with our spiritual director, Father Tom Wilson. Well, Father Tom, I know that we are in the midst of talking about how we're living out our faith on a daily basis, and I understand you have a story to tell about that, yeah?
Yeah. I think the rock solid foundation for us to be able to stay faithful, even if the world around us isn't, even if our immediate environment isn't, is to simply do it every day. I mean, praying every day, staying close to the Lord every day, living a life of charity, of kindness towards others, and making it so habitual that the stresses that might push us to to infidelity or to fear or whatever, just don't, they don't have that kind of strength and power against us. And it, and then it prepares us to live faithfully in circumstances that from the outside might look heroic. And there's a wonderful study, you know, done, I'm not sure, maybe in the 1960s or something, about families in Europe that at great risk to themselves and to their and to their families and probably their incomes and all that, took the risk to hide Jewish people from the Nazis and the Gestapo and things, and externally, you know, we look at that and say, wow, that is just the most heroic of things that you could possibly do. Making that risk for your fellow human being in this grotesquely unjust and evil environment. And virtually all of them who did this did not think it out of the ordinary. They just said, this is just what we do. This is, you know, we live our faith every day. We did not have to think about, they did not think about her being heroic. They did not even think that what they were doing was heroic, because the life of faith, the life of generosity, the life of service, the life of understanding, the dignity of the human person, synced right in with when that environment presented itself to them. It's like, of course, we're going to protect this human being from this evil in whatever way we can. And they did not deem it to be heroic. They did not. That's one of the most amazing things, that their lives of faith habitually each day simply prepared them to do, I think, probably what most people looking from the outside would say, that's heroic. But they did not deem it to be heroic, because it was just what they did every day. And so when we live our faith simply and generously and faithfully each day, we prepare ourselves for the day when maybe somebody's not going to understand it, and maybe somebody's going to think we're an absolute fool, maybe somebody's going to think we're evil doing it, but it is so much part of our life and our habit that we simply do it out of routine, following and discipleship of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Makes total sense to me. I mean, just think in the physical realm of when you're staying in good shape, exercising regularly and that sort of thing, then simple tasks like going up a flight of stairs or something like that doesn't seem very heroic, right? But, you know, if we get just overeating and gluttonous and that sort of thing and don't exercise anymore, now we might be huffing and puffing up those same stairs. So, yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Sounds like virtue to me.
Well, indeed it does.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Father Wilson, let's go back to the phones. We got Scott calling in from Stillwater, Minnesota. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Patrick. Hey, Father Tom. I just wanted to say, I wanted to say, you know, when I go into the stores, I'll often say to the either the waitress or the help or the staff or the checkout person, you've been so helpful, you must know the Lord. Well, I get all kinds of responses, but one of them in particular was at Menards, and he met me with anger, and just everything against God was coming out of his mouth, profanities and everything else. And I just told him, one thing you can't stop me from doing, and that's praying for you. So I'd frequent the store for different reasons. And I'd just go to his department. I'd just say, hey, Michael, just want to say hi, you know. And I did that for 2 years. And on Good Friday, I went in there and I said, I felt really called to bring you the mass schedule here for St. Michael's. And he goes, oh, I already have that. And then, but it ended with me praying with them. And so I say that make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Christ, that I learned from Crisil, really is helpful if you run into that sort of, resistance. That's what I wanted to share with everybody.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Scott. And what you demonstrate is the persistence of relationship. It would have been very easy for you to be intimidated by that guy's profanity-laced attack on you for even mentioning the name, the name of the Lord. But you hung in there. You didn't lose confidence because somebody rejected it right away, and you continued to you persevered, but your perseverance was in love. You did it in love, and that's really the heart of our ability to live the faith in environments where people don't understand or don't like it or whatever, is to continue to persevere in that spirit of self donating and generous love for each other. So, yeah. All right,
yeah,
good
Scott,
to hear from you.
Yeah. Okay. Can I just ask you, Scott, I mean, when you first heard that response of the person and, you know, it was so angry. And I mean, was there any part of you that wanted to respond defensively or in anger back?
Well, I was taken back by it because it was like, he's blaspheming the Lord. And
right.
He was a manager, I found out later, but
oh boy,
you know what? I just listened to him. And I, you know, and I just listened, and he just kept going on, and I said, you know, I will tell you something you can't stop me from doing, and that's praying for you. And he goes, yeah, I guess you're right with that. So I even called him on Easter, actually. I called the store, and I said, I knew you were working, and he told me that he was working, and I said, my wife made a great dinner. Do you want to, I can bring some over for you. And he's like, oh, I'm pretty good, you know. But long and short of it was, he definitely is like, it's all good. It's all good. I said, I hope you didn't feel uncomfortable. I brought this up to you because this has been on my heart. And he goes, no, it's all good. It's all good. And so I've actually invited him out for lunch too. So we'll see where that goes.
Awesome.
Wow.
All right. Way to go,
That's
Scott.
That's amazing. Yeah. Scott, may we all be go. Like you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the face of hostility. Yeah. I mean, that just is amazing. Oh, I'm so touched by that. That's so excellent, Scott.
Yeah.
Well, Father, as we are in our last few minutes of the program here, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, of course, I mean, we talked about, you know, getting to know the faith. We said that that's important. And of course, I want to recommend to everybody that they listen to other shows right here on Relevant Radio, of course. I mean, Patrick Madrid is always there. Cale is always there, and Father Simon is always there to help us understand the roots of our faith. You know, Drew's there with some, and Timory with some great commentary on what's going on. And just as a kind of a smorgasbord of things going on around the faith world, and we was tuning into Morning Air as well. So I'm promoting everybody on the network. But any other resources that you can think of, Father, that you'd like to share with people?
Yeah, I think one of the best things I've read in the last couple of years, and I mean there's no doubt, Patrick, we live in a heaviness of culture and society and sort of a broad based kind of collective turning back on God and institutions even you know at best pushing us into a corner and at worst being hostile and that sort of thing. We're even living with that in Minnesota, where the state legislature is very, very close to amending the human rights the Human Rights Act that would eliminate any protection for people acting out of spirit of faith and conscience. And it's a frightening thing, you know, and we just live in a world that's very culturally different. And a couple of years ago, I was given by a parishioner a book called Live Not by Lies by Rod Dreher. And he wrote also the Benedict Option, I think, is a book a lot of people might be familiar with. But this Live Not by Lies was a whole series of interviews with people who had lived deep lives of fruitful faith behind the communist Iron Curtain in a number of different countries. And it really it's amazing. It's amazing how these people how these people continued to live their faith in an institutionally hostile environment and doing what they could to spread the faith in these things. And it's the stories are very inspiring. Most of them are Catholic. Some of them are not. And like we talked about earlier before of, you know, our brothers in Christ are not our enemies. There was a whole situation where a Protestant group from Western Europe actually provided, in through smuggling, the equipment for these people behind the Iron Curtain to print Catholic apologetic materials in the wow. native languages and get them out to people, and great cooperation of living for the Lord in those environments. So I really highly recommend it's a pretty easy read. And it gives a lot of insights from the people who lived in those environments and are being very honest that they see a lot of this of similar cultural things in the culture in which we live, mm-hmm. that they experienced, but they came out of it. They came out of it, as strong people of faith, continuing to pass it on in their families, and in their communities. So, it's not comfortable, but it is what we are called to do, to witness to the Lord, to stay strong in our faith, to not follow the intuition, to just go along, to get along and to fit in, but to generously and boldly hang on to the faith that we've been given.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, the book, again, that Father mentioned is Live Not by Lies. We'll put that in the show notes for anybody who's interested. You can find that at relevantradio.com/innerlife. Father, this has been a fantastic discussion. I'm feeling like we could go on and take more phone calls and everything, but we've reached the end of our time. So may we have a blessing from you?
Absolutely. Gracious and proud of in God, Father of Freedom, we are grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Put on your blessings on all those who are listening and their families, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right. Well, go back and have a listen to this. Share it with friends who may be struggling. Maybe they're in a battle right now in the faith to remain faithful. Send them the show. Go to relevantradio.com/innerlife and find it there. And you can listen to all of our past shows there. Coming up next is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Our celebrant today is Father Kevin Ripley. So hope you can stay tuned for that. Thanks for joining us, friends. Until next time, grace and peace.